So this is actually chapter 6 of Living Sacrifice. And for the recording, it's because we did not meet last week due to the hurricane here in Atlanta. And we have another kind of hurricane this week. We're tired, we're weary, aren't we? But today, this is we're going to do chapter 6, Goals, Glory, and Grace. And it's really a Bible study. And I can't wait to share because we need it. I see why God waited. I see why he waited. So let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you rule. Thank you that you reign. Thank you that you have a word from Scripture for everything we would ever face. Thank you that we're together this morning, and we pray that every single desire that Satan would have for us would be stopped in this room. I pray, God, that each one of us would put on the belt of truth right this minute, Lord, and that you would go deep into our heart and cleanse us. Thank you so much that you love us like you do. Thank you so much that you value that we be rooted and grounded in love. And so I pray that we would, and I pray that you would speak to us today from your word and that you would give us hope, because things happen that take away our hope, and I pray that these scriptures we look at today would bring great hope to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So everybody turn to Psalm 75. I want to give you a life treasure. Psalm 75. And you will use this psalm with your children time and time again. You will sit down at the kitchen table with this psalm, I promise. All right. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, for your name is near. Men declare your wondrous works. Verse 2. When I set an appointed time, it is I who judge with equity. Okay, that's the key to what we're about to learn. When I set an appointed time, I judge. The earth and all who dwell in it melt. It is I who have firmly set its pillars. I said to the boastful, do not boast, and to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with insolent pride. Okay, here it is. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. He is the one who says, you made the cheerleading team, squad. You did not make the football team. You are the next president of the United States. For God is the judge. He is the one we talk to. He puts down one and exalts another. For a cup is in the hand of the Lord, and the wine foams. It is well mixed. He pours out this. Surely all the wicked of the earth must drain and drink down its dregs. They may not be drinking it now, but one day. And then the psalmist says, as for me, I will declare it forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. And that means to the God of his people. And all the horns of the wicked I will cut off, but the horns of the righteous will be lifted up. And this is how we pray. This is how we pray. So 2 weeks ago when I was teaching, and I don't like to do personal examples much, but this really applies. I had had a toothache for 2 days, bad toothache. And I was in here with a toothache, and I had gotten kind of an emergency dental appointment that morning. And I thought I was going for a root canal right when I left here. And I was like, yeah. And I don't even know what a root canal is because I never had one or I haven't had much done. But anyway, so I went and he said, your pain hasn't localized. Your pain hasn't localized. There's a lot of spiritual examples, analogies. He said, you need to take an antibiotic and go home, and then we'll see what happens. And so at the time, I thought it was an upper tooth, but it turns out it was a lower tooth where pain localized, because it, you know, does. So last week, I called my dentist, and I said, the antibiotic worked. I feel much better, but I can tell there's something wrong with the lower tooth. And he said, don't wait. He said, schedule a root canal. So, ladies, the analogy I want is the deep. I'm always talking about the deepest part. I'm talking about where God is, the deepest, deepest part. And I talk a lot about being rooted and grounded. And they kept saying, we want to save your tooth. We want to save your tooth. And turns out that my tooth had died quite a while ago. It was a back molar. It had died. It was gone. It was dead. And when I had my root canal on Monday morning, underneath the root, at the bottom of the root, this time the x-ray showed up some infection below the root, because the nerve gets infected. It dies and it gets infected and it hurts bad. So it's a molar, and they have to go into the roots, and they have to clean out the roots, and then they fill the roots with something to stabilize the root, because the top part of the tooth chewed normally, felt normally until 2 weeks ago, but it's been dead for a long time. It might look alive, but Revelation talks about one of the churches, you have a reputation that you're alive, but you're really dead. My oak tree, I didn't know it was as hollow as it was. Several of my oak trees, before they were brought down and we saw they were hollow, there was nothing in them. It was root rot. They looked alive. They had leaves on them. In the spring, they had leaves on them, but they fell because they were dead. And below the root, it says, we are to be rooted and grounded in love. And we're actually looking at that passage from Ephesians 3. That's our first passage. But below that root, he took care of infection and he took care of my roots so that I can keep my tooth. And it's an amazing, amazing procedure they do. And it's even more amazing how expensive it is. It's amazing. But it has spoken to me about strengthening the roots and the deepest part and valuing. It's worth the money. It's a lot. It's like, it's worth it to be rooted and grounded in love. It's rooted. It's worth it that we don't just go on with our children when we go, I don't know where they are spiritually, and or I don't know where I am spiritually. It's worth it to stop and go, I need to look at my roots. I need to stop. And so this chapter is powerful, and I pray the Holy Spirit just seals us out and helps us. Okay, so at the top of your handout, I put something that I like to teach this on my responsibility and God's responsibility. And this helps us so much as mothers, as wives, as anything else. So this chapter is about, as you see in the greenish box, who we are as God's children, and help in moments of discouragement and defeat, which we all understand. But we want to know, what do I do? And we do not want to spin our wheels on what is vain. So what do? My part is the possible. Love expressed. I can express love to people. I can express love to my family, to my children. I can love them. I need to know that love sometimes is tough. But, you know, you can write out to the side Proverbs 27:5. And it's a key verse that I had to think about for years. Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. It is better to rebuke someone than to shun them and conceal the love. It is better to give someone an open rebuke, even if you don't do it perfectly right, than not to have love. So love expressed, and that's the part where, Jesus, how did you love the unlovely? How did you say they know not what they do? How did you do that, Jesus? Because I can't do that. And so we can do that. We can pray. There's five ways listed here to pray: intelligently, logically, urgently, without ceasing, and in faith. And this is what we can do. We can enjoy being a mother. We can provide a warm and happy home, light a candle, put on some music, cook some onions, garlic, apples. And we can minister to our family's physical and emotional needs as we are able. But we cannot do the next list. We cannot, this is God's part and it is the impossible, we cannot convict. We cannot say, I'm sitting here till you get this. Because we can't convict. We cannot create a hunger and thirst for righteousness. We can model our own and it'll be, you know, compelling to other people, but we cannot create. Create is the word. Conversion, that's God's business. We cannot bring someone to a place of total commitment. If we could, every woman in this room and in the world would have a perfect husband. Showing us ourselves as we really are without discouraging us. God can show us who we really are without discouraging us. I love that. God, show me who I really am. And continually filling us with His Holy Spirit for our sanctification and His service. That means He goes down into the channels of our root. Like each in a molar, there's two roots. And for me, each root had four canals. Four. And each one had to be strengthened and cleaned and cared for. And so continually filling us with His Holy Spirit. All right, so Paul Tripp's statements from this chapter about being a dad were, not only was he unresponsive, he pushed every one of my buttons. And he said also, I struggled with the gap between what I knew and what I had done. It didn't match up. I realized that this was one job that I could not quit. There was no escape. Tomorrow I would wake up to the same set of demands. Within a week, I will wash this shirt again. I will wash these. I will fold these socks at least one or two times before next week at this time. Unless you go buy more socks. Because it's the same set of demands. So our task as parents, it can be so discouraging and exhausting. And it is beyond the wisdom, character, and strength we possess on our own. God gives it to us. He wants to show us He is our Father. It is easy to give in to defeat, discouragement, and fear, he says. And so when we give in, everything is colored by hopelessness. Everything, do you ever wonder, why does everything feel so hopeless today? And I didn't feel that way yesterday. Or maybe I won't feel that way tomorrow, but some days are just that way. Our only hope of loving and doing what we have been called to do is Christ, His presence, His power. So I always say it's like, oh, if you had the blessing of having your kitchen completely renovated and you didn't have to do anything and you could just step aside and know there are workmen at work making you a beautiful kitchen. Workmen at work. Thank you, Jesus. They paint, they do it all. Well, that's who Jesus is inside of you, working on you and me. That's what it means to be in Christ, that He is in us. He has sent His Holy Spirit until His work on us is done. So, chapter goals. You can read this little spot, but this chapter helps us to look at our children and ourselves through the windows of the gospel. And we need to see the mountains in our lives from the vantage point of the majesty of Christ and His grace. From that vantage point, the majesty. So one of the things I like to do when I'm in Montana is watch the sun come up behind the mountains, and my favorite part is when it looks like it's an orange ball sitting on top of the mountain. It's just like, it's coming, and I can stop and I can take my shot, my picture, and then go in when it's sitting right on top of the mountains, when that glory is there to reveal. And that's what we want to happen. We want to go up. We want to get that glory revealed. So turn to Ephesians 3:20. So this is the church in Ephesus. It was a very strong church. Paul loved these people. It was a powerful church. We know later on that Jesus said, you've lost your first love. That's what you've done. You've done all this stuff, but you've lost your first love. And so if you look at what chapter 2 says, chapter 2 starts out, you were dead in your sins. You were dead. And he's talking to those who were not Jewish from in their heritage, the Gentiles. He's talking to those who had come to Christ miraculously because of God's conversion in their life, and you were dead. And he goes on and he says, he's talking about, but God was rich in mercy towards you, that impossible list. He did the impossible things with you, and he brought you to himself. And he says these verses that we hear a lot, like verse 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself, it's a gift. And I was rereading all this morning early, and I thought, you know, sometimes evangelism and tracts mess this verse up for us because we know it so well. And we need to slow it down and go back and look at it very, very slowly. But look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship. So you can substitute your child's name in there. For Zeke, my new little friend, is his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Well, for sure we know God created you to be the mother of those children and grandchildren, that you are created for that. We know that. And there are other things that you were created for that you can walk in. And that's what he said. Prepared beforehand. This is a promise we can claim. So anyway, Paul is just saying there was a he goes on and he says, before there was a dividing wall between Jews and Gentiles, and now that wall is down. And you know the mystery. It's all been revealed. And so then in chapter 3, I just want you so badly to have the context of why he says what he says that we're studying. So you can see from chapter 3, verse 1, he's writing for the sake of the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And I love this second verse. It's a key verse for being a mom. If indeed you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you. God has given you something, a stewardship of grace for your people. For the people that God wants you to be a minister to help, to love well, he has given you a measure of grace for those people. Whoever you were created for. So anyway, and then he goes on and he talks about, you know, grace was given to me to preach to you guys and to bring to light what was hidden for years, that Gentiles could actually know God and be brought near to God. It's all about being brought near to God. And he says, so this was all, verse 3:11. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which Jesus carried out, which God carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God had an eternal purpose for every soul that would be in heaven. At the beginning, when he said, let there be light, he knew who would be with him. And he knew, you know, the way, who knows how God works. But Paul says, Through him we have boldness and confident access through faith in him for everything. And he says, therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are for your glory. And then he says, I ask, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That's your family, God is name, through him. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be what? Strengthened with power through his spirit in the deepest place, in the inner man. That your roots would be strengthened with power. That what's on the surface would not be dead, but it would be alive. It would not look alive and be dead, but it would be alive. And then he says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, to this generation, to the next generation, to your parents, the past generation, forever and ever. Amen. And this, ladies, is a mindset of truth. This is the belt of truth. God, you are able to do exceeding abundantly beyond what I can ask or think in every situation in life. In our country, in our state, in my neighborhood, in my house. And yesterday I sent Zach Carden something because we're doing space and he's our upfront teacher. And I sent him his address. I wrote, Zach Carden, something Sanderlings Drive, Marietta, Georgia, Cobb County, United States of America, North America, Western Hemisphere, Earth, Solar System, Universe. I did the whole thing. Mind of God. And the mind of God is the ultimate. And it comes down through all that, not just to Sanderling's Drive, but into the soul of us. And I mean, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. The what our God is different than any other God. This election isn't too hard for God. Nothing about it. God is so much bigger. He knows where we live. He knows what we want. We can trust him. He is able to do, and he is what? The judge. He's the judge. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, who is in me, making my roots go down and go. And I said to the Lord, thank you so much for taking care of infection below my roots. God, if there's infection inside of me, please take it out. Please, God, you can see. Use your mind to go in. So then, John 17. And I think that, honestly, what we should be doing is just like reading through John. I mean, continually. He was the beloved disciple. We should never stop reading through John on a daily basis. And especially these end chapters where he talks about what he's leaving and what he's doing and picking up all these little details. So John 17 is called the farewell prayer or the great high priestly prayer, of Jesus' last prayer. And before he starts to pray, he says in chapter 16, In me, I want you to have peace. I've spoken to you these things so that you will have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. So these things Jesus spoke, verse 1, lifting up his eyes to heaven. And nowhere else in the scripture does it say when Jesus prayed that he lifted up his eyes to heaven. This is the only place. He said, Father, the hour has come. It's like, you know, Jesus had this intimate relationship with God. He would go, and we wonder about it. I mean, he would spend the night in prayer. He would, you know, he did all this, and this was worked out in the mind of God before we were created. And don't ask me all the details on that, but the hour has come. Now, the value is glorify your Son so that I may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all mankind, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. So that makes me want to say, God, thank you for those that you've given in my family. Thank you for those that you have given to him for eternal life. And if you have a question about somebody, like, you know, I had in the last 2 weeks, I had a wife say, I finally realized my husband isn't a Christian. And she said, I was in denial over that, but I looked at his life and I said, he's not. And so she felt like, you know, she could learn to live. And then things happened to reveal that that was true for her. And so she is somebody I'm praying for deeply because she's going through it. And God confirmed that she had some issues to deal with. But I think of this verse. Thank you, God, you have authority over all mankind, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. And that is it. Not everybody gets eternal life. Not everybody gets it. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. You can know all about somebody. Like, I feel like I know Elizabeth Elliot, but she's another one. She never knew me. And she's in heaven right now, and you know, God could say to her, well, Connie, blah, 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 and she'd go, well, I never knew her. I never knew her. And this says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, that they may know me. And that's why Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. So, Elise, he's fine. We love him. We are not bothered. We are not bothered. So Jesus said, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work you gave me to do. And I always love how, was all of crime done away with? Was sickness all healed? Were there no more blind or deaf people on earth when Jesus said, I finished everything you gave me to do? Mm-mm. There was suffering, there was pain, there was misery on the earth. But Jesus said, I finished all the work. And now, glorify me together with yourself, Father, with the glory which I ever had with you before the world was. I showed your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they've kept your word. And he said, I did this. And this is something that can be a goal for us. You gave them to me. You gave me this child I don't understand. You gave me this child that wakes up at 4 in the morning and will not go back to sleep. I got that email this morning. I've beat her and beat her and beat her, covered her up and covered her up, and she will lay there for 10 minutes and then she will start again and I'm losing my mind. What should I do? Go ahead, tell me what to do. What should I tell her? First thing, put her in a sleeper. So she doesn't get cold. Footies. And yeah, then after that, let's just chat after that. But there's some willfulness going on. Why do I get off? But it's about the people that you've given me if they get up at 4. You gave them to me. They've kept your word. Now they've come to know that everything you've given me is from you. That was the 12. For the words which you gave me, I've given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those you've given me, for they are yours. Jesus is saying that right now in heaven. You know, he is interceding for his people right this minute, and he's saying, God, I'm asking in the United States of America for your people. Our people in the USA are in a tizzy. They're anxious. Your people, I'm asking for them, Lord God. They're yours. And all things, verse 10, that are mine are yours and yours are mine, and I've been glorified in them. And I'm no more in the world. He said that just before he was crucified. Like he prays as if he's already behind the veil. And yet they're in the world, and I've come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you've given me, that we may be one even as we are. He does not want the church and the people of God to be divided. He wants us to be one in him. That he, as the deepest, most center, basic part, in spite of all diversity of externals above the root, that the roots are going down into Christ. Then he says, his plan was that we would be kept from sin. So he said, while I was with them, I was keeping them in your name which you've given me. I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy full in themselves. So ladies, this is the rooted part. The joy full deep in themselves. The joy going down deep, 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 deep. That's what's in the root canal, joy. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I don't ask you to take them out of the world. Don't take them out of Atlanta or Georgia, but to keep them from the evil one. Because there are assignments from the evil one to trip us up. And whatever those assignments are, we pray, Lord, stop those assignments. Uncover those assignments. Let us be strong through those assignments. Because, verse 16, they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Have you ever prayed, God, I think I'm lower than the valley. Just bring me up in the valley. Just put me in the valley. And holiness, somebody said a couple weeks ago, I read, is walking a straight line in the valley. Not like this. But in the deepest part of your life when it's hard, just holiness is to walk straight, straight path, straight to God. 17, sanctify them in the truth. What does sanctify mean? Set them apart, make them holy. Holy in the truth, your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world, and for their sakes, I set myself apart. I'm holy, that they may also be sanctified in truth. He wants that belt on us so badly. He wants that belt of truth on us. And once that belt is on, I promise you, every other part just comes on. It slides on so easily. I do not ask. Here's our verses for today. 20. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for these also who believe in me through their word. So you're praying for your grandchildren. You're praying for your great-grandchildren. You're praying for all the people, for your children and all the people that they will influence. That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. You sent me. And the glory which you've given me, I've given to them, that they may be one, just as we're one. And we can say, God, I don't know anything else except Jesus has given me the same glory that he gave his disciples, because it says it in John 17:22. I cannot imagine that, but that's what it says. And I'm taking that to the bank. I'm taking that to you, and I'm saying, I need this today. I'm cashing this in. 23, I and them, you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you've given me be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory. And you have given me, for you did love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. How many times did he say that? How many times did he say, I want them to know that you sent me? It's good for you to go back later, and because I've read it over and over. Jesus is saying, they need to know that you sent me. And with Christmas coming, we need to herald it. God sent Jesus. Jesus, this was foremost out of his mouth. 26, and I have made your name known to them and will make it known. The love wherewith you did love me may be in them and I in them. That's a mom verse. That's a mom vision mission statement. Here's what I'm going to do, God. I'm going to make your name known to my kids. I love this song. It makes me feel close to you, God, and I'm going to share that with my kids. This delights me about you, God, and I'm going to share with them what delights me. As a homeschooling mom, that was the first thing I learned. Delight-based instruction, tell your children what delights you. From the very minute, they should know my mom loves this. And delight means, look at that word. It's got the word light in it. So that is the gift of glory. So the first one was goals, awesome power within us. Awesome power within us. And then the gift of glory. And the last one is grace, everything we need. 2 Peter 1. This has to be memorized. This 2 Peter 1, 3 through 9 has to be memorized by you and your children. It has to be. It is such a foundation. And I was in a group in college where I had to memorize it. And I had to memorize it when I was in the middle of finals. It took everything I had in my brain to memorize it. I cried over it. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. But I had to do it. And it is, I'll never forget how I felt as I did it and I learned these things. There are clues in here for the education of your children. There are clues in here for what you do in what order you do them. It is not just, and it is about everything we need, but it is on so many deep levels that you have to get this. So on the sheet I put in here, and I think Paul Tripp said it, why are believers ineffective and unproductive? Because they're missing the qualities that make for a productive life and these things that are listed in here. And why do many Christian parents lack the qualities to be effective? We love that word effective. We want to be effective. If we're going to do it, let it be done effective. And then the third thing, we have everything for eternal life and a God-honoring life, but what's God called me to do? And so, okay, let's go through the passage. So Simon Peter, I'm going to do 1 to 9, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus, the guy with a problem with his mouth, who was very confident person. You know, he was very, very confident and likable. And a leader, because Jesus said, Peter, upon your name is Rock, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church. And so he's a bondservant and apostle of Jesus, and that's how he called himself. Okay, I'm going to get off for just a second. So as a children's director, I stop from time to time and I go back to my original documents of what God gave me when I took this job about plowing up the hearts of children. If you plow up hearts of children for God, what does that look like? They know all the scripture, they know all the songs. No. A plowed up heart for a 5-year-old or a 90-year-old is what Jesus said, servant of all. He said, servant of all. Willing, and it makes me cry. Because it's not what we look for. And it is those qualities that demonstrate a plowed up heart. When your heart gets plowed up, you know what it feels like to be on the bottom. You know what it feels like to just one more thing, one more thing, one more thing. And so Peter says, I'm a bondservant. I'm doing this willingly. A bondservant offered themselves willingly. And apostle of Jesus Christ. And he is in that list of 12 that we just read Jesus talking about. He kept my name, except that one. Peter was one. To those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. That's us, guys. By the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Start your memory work right here. Because I did find myself saying to my children when they were little, grace and peace be multiplied to you. May it be multiplied. When they learn their multiplication tables, teach them this verse. Seeing that, and think about what multiplication means, ladies. Think what that really means, how fast the numbers increase when you just do a series of multiplication. Multiplied in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. Knowing God, like he goes, oh, I know her. I know her. Yes. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to two things, life and godliness. Being like me. Being like me, Jesus says. Through. And you have to put a square box around through. You're not going to get everything pertaining to life and godliness except one way. It's through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. And you can sit for 5 months and you can read this verse along with John 17 and you can go, wow, 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 called. Glory and excellence. For by these things, by these, verse 4, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. That's what they are, those two words. In order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And it means the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He's saying, partakers of the divine nature, like Helen Rosevere, and I just feel like if you want your book today, you can follow me upstairs and I'll give it to you. But I feel like Helen Rosevere had to become a partaker of the divine nature in order to be a woman in her 50s who was brutalized by a group and then keep walking. In a time, I think it was back in the 50s, in a time when no one knew what to do with that. So, verse 5, I can't underestimate for this very reason also. Look back and say why. Applying all diligence. This is our part. We can do, this is the possible for us. We can apply diligence. King James says giving all diligence. What do some of your translations say that I don't have on that phrase? Applying all diligence or what? Make every effort. Any for this reason? Make every effort. What does it mean? What does that mean? For one thing, it means that your face does not glow as much as it's been glowing. You know what I'm talking about? I just started a book called Glow Kids. Screens make our face glow. Okay. Applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. So when we're explaining to our children about Jesus and about God, from the very youngest ages, we're telling them that it's hard to understand God. God made everything. God is a spirit person. You can't see a spirit person, but he's everywhere. He sees us all the time. And we're telling about God, and we're telling about Jesus. And so we trust God. And they're seeing our faith. So I'm trying to help you understand in our faith, moral excellence or virtue. They see mom and dad have faith. We trust, and we're teaching the word faith. Let me catch you, and you know I'm going to catch you, and we teach what faith is. But to faith, apply moral excellence. So moral excellence means virtue, it means character, and it means the first thing we train our children is in character. Character, virtue, respect. The first thing, if we want their faith at all or understanding of God, is they've got to see virtue. They've got to see it. And so, like John Rosemond is so good at doing, you stop this sassiness, you stop this cuteness that everybody laughs at, and you stop it. And you're wanting servants of all, you're wanting, and we want them to be children, but you know what I'm saying, respect. Pulling out the chair, not running in front, the little mannerly things, we have to teach those things that are getting lost. Can I say they're getting lost? As a children's director, can I say they're getting lost? Okay. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. What's knowledge about? School, learning things, history, spelling, vocabulary. So we're starting with faith. That's at the bottom, foundation. And then we're going to virtue, and then we're going to knowledge. We want our children to have knowledge. We want them to just succeed in knowledge. We want them to have it. We want them to know it. And so in their faith, we add knowledge. And so if there's no faith in school that they go to, we must add that in to their knowledge. Our understanding of faith must go into, we must develop enough of an understanding of a biblical worldview of history in all subjects so that we can help our children if they're not getting it in a public school. And this helped me when I saw this, when the lights went on, I went, no, we can't do this public school, we're bringing them home. And because I wanted their knowledge to be added to faith. Okay, and so next is self-control. In the knowledge, self-control. They can't just learn everything they want to learn. They have to learn what they're supposed to learn. And in they're not ready to learn everything they could learn. You can take it all. But in your self-control, perseverance. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. We have to add this in. We're not letting children persevere enough. So in that regard, my favorite, do you all have the Jesus Storybook Bible? Does everybody have it? You want to know my favorite story? Have I already told you? I even have it in the cover of my book. I made a copy of the page from the story of Naaman. So just wash? Naaman laughed. In that slimy, stinky river, he looked around to see if this was some kind of a joke. It wasn't. Any person can wash in a river, he thought. I'm Naaman. I'm important. I should do something. It's so important. God will heal me. And he rode off in a rage. Of course, you and I both know that's not how God does things. All Naaman needed was nothing. It was the one thing Naaman didn't have. That's my favorite. God knew that Naaman was even sicker on the inside than he was on the outside. Naaman was proud. He thought he didn't need God. His heart didn't work properly. It couldn't feel anything. You see, Naaman had leprosy of his heart. God was not only going to heal Naaman's skin, he was going to heal his pride. So I love that. All Naaman needed was nothing. It was the one thing Naaman didn't have. And I want to go, do our children have nothing in areas so that they'll persevere? So that they'll persevere. Add to your self-control, add perseverance. Like, you know, I like weight-bearing stuff. I know I need, at my age, I need weight-bearing for my bones. So I walk out with heavy, heavy bags of books, and I make myself carry them a long distance, and I do these things, and you know, around this building, but I make myself do it. I don't want to do it. I make myself feel it. And so you add that in, you keep adding into your self-control, you add in some perseverance, and you teach your children this. And like, this is what we don't want to do right now in our country. We just want to know an answer. But he's saying, I'm sorry, self-control with perseverance. And in that, godliness, like Jesus, like Jesus. And in that, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, Christian love. So our job is to learn these qualities in this order ascending and see what the Holy Spirit wants to tell you about that in your life right now. That's what's so exciting. God wants to tell you something about that right now. And which of these is slipping? For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless or unfruitful in what? The true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. So this is what Paul looked at to go, when I'm a parent and I'm discouraged and I need hope, this is the grace that can help me as a parent to look at these qualities, to say I have the promises. If these qualities are mine and are increasing, and the thing about it we learn in Ephesians and in John is that Jesus is at work in us, doing these things in us. He's doing. What did I have to do at the endodontist on Monday to help the guy fix me? I had to be very still. I had to let him do it. I had to relax. And he did it with great skill. He fixed me. And it's a picture of God using his microscope to go into our hearts and tell us what we need to know so he can fix us. So look at number four here. What should we not do? Don't give in to discouragement. Don't quit. Don't run away. Don't settle for a little bit of faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, brotherly kindness, and love. Don't settle for it. Say, Lord, I want you to look down here in Atlanta, Georgia at me. I want you to, you know, sweep down from your very mind and look all the way down through all my addresses. And I want you to increase these qualities in my life while I'm very still with you. And I want my face to glow because your spirit is emanating from me. And so there are application questions. You can get yourself a cup of something hot maybe this afternoon, and you can look at these. It's not that many. It's four, or you could do it here. And you rate yourself, and really, unity is what Jesus was talking about. And unity in the family, unity in the home, in these. Rate yourself on your efforts to grow in the following qualities. And how much does each of the following characterize you when you're at the end of your strength? And he wants us at the end of our strength. When the pain is so great, all we can do is go for help and be still and let him do the work. Be still. It's beyond us. So I hope this lesson helps you. And there are more words in the chapter which, you know, I pray will encourage your heart as a mom. So you're like, okay, well, I needed help with waking up at 4 a.m. This doesn't help me. But yes, it does. But yes, it does. Because what is the God of the universe asking you to do as you put your foot out of the bed and head for that crying child? He's got grace for you. He's got glory for you. He's got goals for you. And we can persevere because we have him. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for this lesson. I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that you are the judge and you put down one and you raise up another. And we ask you to put down every evil aimed at us. Lord, we know that you know assignments from the enemy against us, and we pray that you'd put them down. We pray that you would give us your spirit, that we would not quench or grieve or resist your Holy Spirit, but that, God, you would set us apart like Jesus was praying for us. Help us to remember you're praying for us right this second. Thank you that you are. I pray that we would love your word more this week than we ever have, and that you would get us in it, Lord, and that you would be our strength and our shield. In Jesus' name, amen.